thinking about something that's really fun to do, and that is just to walk up to a stranger or maybe a neighbor. And if you're like me, maybe your neighbors think that you're a little wacky and crazy already. But I just think that it's appropriate for Christians to walk up to strangers and neighbors and start singing songs about Jesus. I think that's an appropriate thing to do. And not only is it appropriate, but it's also acceptable. And it's the loving thing to do. Hang with me. The looks I have right now are, where are we going with a message today? What has happened to our pastor? Here's the deal. This is one of those special, kind of even supernatural things about Christmas. It's actually an acceptable time of year to walk up to strangers and sing songs about Jesus. You know what I'm talking about, Christmas carols, right? The kind of Christmas carols that talk about Christ and Jesus, the Son of God, the Lord. Back in Mount Vernon, Illinois, when I was growing up, we would go caroling at retirement homes. And we would sing to strangers. I mean, I didn't know these folks. And away in a manger, no crib for a bed, little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head, singing songs about Jesus to strangers. Sometimes in our neighborhood, we'll go out and we'll take chocolatey goodies to our neighbors. Usually my wife's infamous chocolate truffles, which have been putting the weight on me already this Christmas season. But we'll take those chocolatey goodies around to our neighbors, but we won't just bring the chocolate. We'll also bring songs about Jesus. We usually start with, "We wish you a Merry Christmas." And then sometimes we'll dive into, "Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord." So our neighbors are hearing the name of Jesus. They're being reminded about Jesus. I was talking about Matt Brown, some of the crazy things they do. There have been years past where we've gone over to their house and we've gotten in the back of their trailer that's filled with hay and there's some hot chocolate and lights strung around the trailer, and we'll drive around their neighborhood going door to door singing songs about Jesus. Christmas carols. Those are songs about Jesus if you pick the right ones. What an opportunity to share Jesus with people in song. It's acceptable, and I'm telling you, it's the loving thing to do. People dig it. They like it. Last week, we talked about the amazing reality that because of love, heaven came down. How many of you were here last week? All right, at least half of you. If you didn't hear it, you got to go listen to it. It's all about Jesus, so it's like it's mandatory listening. And watching online. Heaven came down. Because of love, Jesus stepped down from heaven. Because of love, Jesus put on flesh. Because of love, Jesus came and he dwelt among us. Because of love, he came down on a rescue mission to save us. He sought us out and he came down and he saved us because of love. But I don't want us to forget the rest of the Christmas story. Because of love, heaven came down. Because of love, Jesus came and rescued us. But then the rest of the Christmas story, kind of the Paul Harvey rest of the story part of Christmas, is because of love, we now go out. You see, the Christmas story isn't over. It didn't just happen 2,000 years ago. The Christmas story is continuing today. And because of love, because of Christmas now, we engage in the things of heaven, the things of Christ, and now we go out. We remember that the love that God showed us on Christmas got up close and personal as Jesus came down and became a man. We are reminded that the love that God demonstrated on Christmas wasn't a distant love. And Christmas is a reminder that we're called to now do the same thing that Jesus did, and we are called to bring the love of God to people. We're called to get up close and personal, to get Jesus up close and personal with all of those people that we're coming in contact with. We're called to continue the mission of Christmas. The Christmas story. Remember last week we talked about the World War II rescue mission at Dunkirk. We're reminded that these people left their homes to go out and rescue people, most of them strangers, from death. They got on these boats and they went out and they risked their lives to rescue others. Christmas was a rescue mission. That's what it was. We were drowning. We were in deep. We were going down fast. Big time danger. And then Christmas. The rescue mission began. And Christmas should compel us to join Jesus in this rescue mission, to join him in it. Amen. To not just say, oh, wasn't it great what Jesus did, but to actually so much appreciate and understand what he did that we actually get on board with Jesus and join him now in this rescue mission that we understand is Christmas. So because of love, we go out. That's what we do on Christmas. That's what Christmas compels us to do. Check out one of the last things Jesus said while he walked on this earth. It's found in Matthew 28, beginning of verse 18. You're like, I already know what that is. It's a great commission. It is a great commission. But check this out. Let's be reminded of it. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He's got it all. But then he said this. He said, therefore, go. Therefore, go. I've done what I was called to do. Heaven came down. I conquered sin and death. I took the keys. I got the victory. I have all power and authority. It's been given to me, and I've given it to my church. Therefore, I've done my part. Now it's your turn to go. It's your time to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey, to come into agreement, to align with everything that I have taught. And surely, Jesus says, when you live this way, when you get on board and you take that baton and join me in this Christmas mission, surely I will be with you to the very end, all the time, wherever you go. It's Christmas. Because of love, Jesus says, I came to you. Because of love, I rescued you. Therefore, go and rescue others. The Christmas message. Be like me, Jesus says, and go. It's a great commission. What's a commission? I looked it up, so you don't have to get on your smartphone right now and check it out. Here's what it says in the dictionary. Commission is an instruction. It's a command or duty given to a person or group of people. A commission is a group of people officially charged with a particular function. But I want to break down this word commission a little differently. When I look at the word commission, I look at co-mission. Now, I know you English professors out there are thinking, Pastor, you can't do that. That's really not how it breaks down. But you know what? Hang with me here. I think I'm right. You know what I'm saying? I think I'm right on this. I think what Jesus is saying is, join me in this mission. What's co-mission mean to me? It says co means together, we're on this mission. Together, we're joining in this mission. This is a together kind of mission now, Jesus is saying to his church. We're co-missioning right now. You're joining me in the mission that I was sent to do. This is the great co-mission. It's an invitation to join Jesus in the Christmas mission of saving the lost. I want to answer a few questions this morning. We're going to look at three different questions, and we're going to let Jesus give us the answer for every single one of those questions. How many of you know that's always a good way to go? You got questions, look to Jesus. He'll give you the answer. You say, yes, sir. Yes, Savior. Yes, Jesus. And we get on board with him, right? So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at three different questions. The first question is this. What is the mission of Christmas? I believe this is the answer Jesus gives us. The first one's found in Luke 19, where Jesus is recorded as saying, for the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. What's the mission of Christmas? To seek and save what was lost. Why did Jesus put on flesh, step down from heaven? Why did he need to come to this earth that he created? To seek and save the lost. That's you and me. What is the mission of Christmas? Jesus said this in John 12. He said, for I did not come to judge the world, but to Save it. The mission of Christmas, to save the world, to seek and save the lost. Jesus also answered this question about what is the mission of Christmas when he quoted Isaiah 61. Let's put that up. Jesus said this. It's the next slide. Isaiah 61. He's quoting Isaiah 61. It's in Luke 4. Sorry. It's in Luke 4. Jesus is quoting Isaiah. Sorry to mess you up there. I got ahead of myself here. Dylan's like, Pastor, don't do that to me. Oh, goodness. All right. So Jesus says this. It's recorded in Luke 4. He's quoting Isaiah 61. He says that the Spirit of the Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What's the mission of Christmas? Jesus has given us some clues right here as he is speaking to us. Seek and save the lost. Proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Recovery of sight for the blind. That's just not physically blind. That's also spiritually blind. To come and to bring good news to the poor. This is the mission of Christmas that Jesus is inviting us to join him in. To co-mission with him in. The mission of Christmas is bringing the message of salvation. It's bringing the evidence of his love and his power to the lost, to the needy, to the sick, to the oppressed. Let's look at the next question. I'm going to say let's tackle the next question. You're going to understand why I use that term, tackle. Let's tackle the next question. What is our role in this Christmas mission? Jesus keeps it simple and clear. He said what? Therefore? He said what? Therefore?
Go.
Go. I share this a lot. I like to keep it simple. I need it simple. God knows that there are a lot of guys out there like me, and so he keeps it simple. How do we co-mission with Jesus? How do we respond to Christmas? How do we actually respond to the gift that God's given us in Christmas? Salvation. He sought us out. He saved us. How do we respond? What are we supposed to do? Our role is to simply go. It's a two-letter word. It's easy. Therefore, go. This is the message and the mission of Christmas. Look, when I played football, now you see where I get, let's tackle the second question. These kind of things, you know, when I'm sitting in my office and writing the. You know, I was like, that's cute. I'm going to use the term tackle. So I got to share that with you so I put it together, right, and get some credit for, you know, being cute and all that when I'm writing. Anyway, so as we're tackling this second question of what our role is, I was thinking about how when I played football, I didn't play football so that I could sit on the bench. That wasn't my goal. I didn't join the football team so that I could sit on the bench. When I played football so that I could actually get out on the field and play. You know what I'm saying? Now, when you sat on the bench, you didn't get hit and you didn't get hurt. There's no question. Your uniform, like these guys in this picture, nice and clean. There's no grass stains on it. There's no smudges on their helmet from pounding the other team. There's none of that kind of stuff, right? They're clean. They're comfortable. You know? No pain. But that's not why I played football. That's not why I went to two-a-day practices with full pads on in August in Southern Illinois, where the temperature was still in the 80s and 90s with like almost 100% humidity, and you couldn't drink enough water. And that was back in the days when the coaches didn't understand all the hydration thing, and sometimes you didn't always get the water that you need. So you're passing out and all that kind of stuff. I didn't go through all that to sit on the bench and stay clean. I got on the football team so that I could get out on the field, because if you're sitting on the bench, you don't score the winning touchdown. And I wanted the opportunity to score the winning touchdown. I wanted to be part of the group that was advancing the ball down the field and not just watching others do it. I knew that I was on the team to play, not to watch. I had a uniform. on just not so that I just didn't look good, but so that I could actually get out there, put some hurt on some people. You know what I'm saying? That's why I played football. It was painful to be in the game. It was painful to be in the game, but that's why I was on the team. That's why I was there. So Jesus says, therefore, go. See where he's going with this? Therefore, go. Jesus said it this way. It's recorded in John 14, verse 12. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. And everybody knows if Jesus says, I tell you the truth, you better be listening. So sit up straight. Let's listen to this one. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He didn't say everyone who has faith in me will think about what I've been doing. He didn't say everyone who has faith in me will talk about what I've been doing. Everyone who has faith in me will listen to another dozen sermons about what I've been doing. No, Jesus says everyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. You'll get in the game and you'll go. But then he says this, he will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. So we're going to commission with Jesus. We're going to be those who determine to get on the field, to take the handoff. Yeah, we're going to get hit. Sometimes we're going to get piled on. Every once in a while, we might even get injured and may need people to come and to pull us off the field and tend to us for a while and get recovered again so we can get back out there and get hit and hurt again. Yeah, that's going to happen. And how many of you know that happens? It happens. That's life, all right? All right, that's life. But Jesus is coming back, and he'll make all things new, and we won't have to deal with this anymore, right? We can play football and not get hit or hurt, right? All right, amen. But we're going to go, and we're going to be Jesus to a lost world. You see, this is the message, and this is the mission of Christmas. We go. We get on the field, and we go. See, church, we don't remain on this earth. Jesus isn't waiting to come back so that we can just have another potluck or spaghetti dinner. And I love potlucks, and I like spaghetti, and I like barbecue, and I can tell you all the other things, Mexican food, I like all those things, right? But no, Jesus, he's not waiting and being patient and returning so that we can just be about, you know, the comfortable things and the fun things. And he loves that stuff. He gives us those things. I mean, he's the one who is preparing a table, a feast for us, right? He's all for that. He tells us to eat together and laugh together and enjoy one another and bless one another and fellowship with one another. So there's nothing wrong with that. But that's not the real sole purpose why we're still on this earth and why he hasn't returned. The reason that we are still on this earth is to get on the field, to advance the ball down the field, to score some touchdowns. The reason that we're on this earth is to tear the gates of hell off of their hinges and tear down the walls that are separating people from Jesus and go out and get people to seek and save the lost. Seek and save the lost. Did you get that picture up there of the spaghetti dinner? Look at the contrast here. These are okay, old-fashioned spaghetti supper and some hymn singing. That's good. We can do that. But here's the main reason we're here. You see that? Bust down those walls that are keeping the lost from Jesus. Let's go rescue them. Let's go get them. Let's co-mission with Jesus. You know, we've been selected as God's special forces, his elite squad, his SEAL team. The Mihailos aren't here. They're out of town, and I wish they were. You know, they were in the Navy, and I used the SEAL team example, and they're not here today. We're called to be God's SEAL team, his elite forces, man, those that he sends in behind enemy lines to go rescue, to go push back darkness, to advance his kingdom. That's what we're called to be, to go on to the battlefield. Romans 10, 14 says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Church, we have been sent. We just read the Great Commission, right? Romans 28, 18, right? We have been sent. There's no question about who the Apostle Paul is talking about here. We are those, you are those who already have been sent. You're sent. You're the sent ones. And so it's simple now. Because of love, we go. We've been sent. And because we've received the love of Christ now, we now go. And God says it's beautiful when we go. And he didn't even say it's beautiful when we go and join him in the commission. He says that we are beautiful when we go. The church is beautiful when the church goes out and joins Jesus in the Christmas mission of seeking and saving the lost. We're beautiful in the eyes of Jesus. Guys, get over it, okay? You're part of the beautiful one, right? When we do this, it's good. It's all good. It's good. All right, one more question today. Third and final question, let's jump on this one. Question number three, how do we succeed at the mission? How do we really do this? What does it look like? Acts 1, so when they met together, now this is the disciples and Jesus, just before Jesus left this earth, returned to heaven, says that they asked Jesus this. They asked him, and he said, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? What they were asking Jesus really was, okay, now we know who you are. We know why you were sent here. How's this all going to go down now? When are you going to unleash heaven on this earth? How's it going to happen? When is it going to happen, Jesus? We're ready to go. Let's get suited up. Let's get the armor on. Let's go take the world for the kingdom of God. That's what his disciples were looking for. That's what they were asking for. But Jesus said to them, calm down, boys. Calm down. It's going to be a little different. I'm paraphrasing now. I know that's not on the screen, right? It's going to be a little different than what you're thinking right now. Settle down, guys. He says, look, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you, now I love this, but you, he's handing off the baton, but you, he's calling us into the game now, right? He says, but you, church, you disciples, you followers of mine, you who have been saved, you who know me, you who understand what this mission is, but you will receive power. We're going to do this in our own strength, church. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So again, we're called to co-mission with Jesus. But we're not going to do it in our own strength. Our success isn't dependent upon us. Remember the Great Commission, what he said, right? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go in my authority, Jesus is saying. Therefore, go in my authority. And he says, I'm going to be with you to the very end. See how we're just sandwiched in between the power of God right there, in between Jesus right there, all authority in him. We're just getting on board with him, and he's with us all the way to the end. He's making it happen, right? And we're going to find success as we co-mission with Jesus because we have received power from God. That's what Jesus says. We're going to be successful in seeking and saving the lost because we've received power. And how have we received power? We've received power because we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, Jesus said. So we're moving forward, we're getting on the field, we're taking the handoff, we're taking the hits, and we're advancing the ball, not in our own strength, but because we have been baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. Look out, who's going to stop us now? You know what I'm saying? Give me the ball. Let's go. What's that Heisman thing? You know? We're going, right? It says in 2 Peter 1:3 that his divine power, that's the power of Jesus, the same power that raised him from the dead, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. He's given us everything we need for continuing the mission of Christmas through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and his goodness. We have all we need, church. We've been given all the power, all the authority that we need in and through Christ Jesus to go and to finish this Christmas mission of seeking and saving the lost, of being successful. The Lord has spoken in his word also. He says in Zechariah 4, verse 6, it's not by might nor power, but what? By the Spirit of God that we advance. It's by the Spirit of God, not by what we can bring to the table, but by what he has already brought and given to us. By the Spirit of God. And so as we're commissioning with Jesus, we move forward in confidence when we engage. We don't have to be afraid to be those beautiful feet that are sharing Jesus with others. Oh man, what do I say? How do I say it? What's going to happen? It's not you. It's the power of God. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Lord that is moving mountains, that's tearing down the walls. We're just the vehicles. We're just the feet. We're just the hands. We're just the mouths, the voices on this earth that he is using. That's it. It's by the power. It's by the Spirit, says God. What does it look like to go? Day in and day out. Remember the Lord gave me that word. He said, just go be who you are. Say what you know and give what you have. A lot of times we don't go because we overcomplicate it and we think it needs to look a certain way. And we forget that God is orchestrating our steps, that the Spirit of God is leading us in this life, that the Spirit of God is putting together supernatural relationships and encounters for us already. That it's not by accident that you live where you live. It's not by accident that you work where you work. It's not by accident. The Lord works all things together for good. He takes every circumstance in every place that you are, in every relationship that you're in, and he uses that to advance the Christmas mission, to bring the gospel and to bring the kingdom of God into this world. And so we just need to go be who we are. And who are we? We are the redeemed. We are those that are filled with the power of God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are those who have been given all authority. So we go be who we are, and then we say what we know. What do we know? We know that Jesus is the hope, that he's the only answer, that whatever the people that God has put us in alignment with and in life with, that Jesus is who they need. They're all like, man, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I don't know. We're like, man, we know. We're going to say what we know. His name is Jesus. Jesus. And then we give them what we have. We give them what we have received. We give them the love of Christ. We give it to them. We show it to them. We serve them. We love them. We build them up and we bring them in. We've talked about that the last few weeks, right? Bring them in. Let them have a little taste of what you're enjoying. Bring them in and let them experience the presence of God as he's moving in people's lives and bringing freedom and hope and peace in people's lives. Bring them in. Go out and bring Jesus and go out and bring them in to Jesus. It's a both and. It's not an either or. It goes both ways. So let's go and give it to everyone. Give Jesus to everyone. You know, God has called us to be a people of prayer, pursuing God and loving others. And loving others. It's hard to love others if we don't go out. And we love others by co-missioning with Jesus on this Christmas mission. We seek them out to bring them salvation through Jesus Christ. That's how we love others. Part of our mission statement is helping people belong to God's family. The only way to belong to God's family is through Jesus Christ. And so we go out and we bring Jesus and we invite them to belong to the family of God through Christ Jesus. And then we actually bring them in here to belong to this family so that they will have brothers and sisters and friends and those who will encourage them and build them up. Give them words of encouragement, words of knowledge, even prophetic words. Pray for them. Give them a high five or a fist bump even. Man, that can go a long way. Merry Christmas. You probably didn't expect to hear a message that, you know, had all of this like military jargon and football and tackling and getting hit and hurt and carrying, you know, balls down the field and all that for Christmas. I get it. But that's just kind of how I'm wired, and that's where God took me this week as I was praying into what he wanted to say to Evident Life Church. Because this really is the story of Christmas. When Jesus stepped down from heaven onto this earth, he embarked on a spiritual mission to save the world. And when we came into the family of God through Christ Jesus, we, part of that, joined him in this mission of Christmas, of seeking and saving the lost. Part of his elite squad now that he's sending out. Christmas was violent, and the Christmas mission is still violent. Here's what Jesus says. In Matthew 11, verse 12, Jesus said, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men take hold of it." That's the Christmas story right there. Jesus came and he forcefully rescued us. I mean, think about the cross. How violent was the cross? How much force was exerted through the cross and the resurrection? A lot of force, a lot of violence. Jesus suffered it himself for us. The Christmas mission wasn't simply the manger. It was all that Christ did when he walked on this earth. It's all that he did as he conquered sin and death through the grave and the resurrection. And the Christmas mission now is in our hands as we go out and be Jesus to the world, seeking and saving the lost. It's the Christmas mission. You're vital to this mission. Wherever God has placed you, whatever relationships he's put you in, you're vital to the Christmas mission. You are Jesus to those family members, those friends, those coworkers, those classmates, those neighbors, people you run into in the crazy shopping season of Christmas. You're Jesus to them. You have an amazing role to play. You're carrying the football of heaven right now, the kingdom of heaven. Hand it off to some people this Christmas season. And every day, invite them to join you on the team, in the family of God. So let's preach the good news to the poor, church. Let's proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. Let's be those people who bring the kingdom of heaven, and we do it together. We're bringing the kingdom of heaven. Let's come and release the oppressed. Will you do it with me? Will you join me in this? Will we be that church who joins Jesus in this mission? Do you want to do it? Well, I want to ask you, if you're willing to get on the field with Jesus, I want to invite you to stand up just as an indicator that I'm tired of sitting on the bench. Put that picture up again of the bench warmers. This isn't who I want to be. This isn't me. I want to be one of those that's standing up and that's on the field. Lord, I thank you, God, that you've called us to be on the field with you, that you've called us to join you, to co-mission with you in this amazing mission that you have to seek and save the lost, to proclaim the good news, to release the oppressed and the prisoner. God, I thank you that you've entrusted us with this, and we take this not pridefully, but God, humbly, knowing that it's not in our strength. We don't have what it takes, but you do. And so in you, God, we raise our heads and our hands, and God, we get filled with confidence and hope and joy as we advance in this mission, because we're walking in your strength, baptized in you, Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask that you would give every one of us standing here, even right now, God, words to speak to people this year, words that will break chains, words that will bring your kingdom, God, words that will change thinking, God, words that will release the oppressed, Lord God. I ask you, God, that you will give us divine strategy and understanding on how to be Jesus, how to be you to others this season, and really every day that we're alive. And Jesus, I thank you that you came for us. Because of love, you came for us. And I thank you that because of love, that God, you've sent us. And Lord, as we go, what an amazing picture even I'm getting right now. God, as this church goes out and as we share you with others, that you're looking down on us and you're saying, that's beautiful. They are beautiful. That's my church. Lord, it's humbling. It's amazing to think that. Thank you for letting us be part of this mission. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. And we lift up your name. We glorify you. We honor you. We exalt you. For you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the Savior of the world. The Lamb that was slain for us. You're our hope. You're our salvation. We love you. May your name be glorified from our lips, from our actions, and all around us.